7 every Tuesday night, 8 to 10 p.m. here on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Is a safe space to communicate about your fantasies and passions without fear of judgment. It is a dating app for open-minded couples and singles to experiment with your desires that don't have to be secret anymore. What is Love Radio Show is sponsored by Fantasy App. Fantasy is a safe space to communicate about your fantasies and passions without fear of judgment. It is a dating app for open-minded couples and singles to experiment with your desires that don't have to be secret anymore.
Coming to you live from Radio Free Brooklyn, hosting What is Love, in place of Sasha Sugar, who is continuing her world travels in Tennessee at the moment. I'm here today live with a very special guest. I'm really, really excited about what we have in store for you guys in the next hour. Ariel, would you like to introduce yourself and let us know a little bit about your background?
Yeah, hello. Namaste. My name is Ariel Kylie, and I am a yoga and meditation instructor and teacher trainer and program designer here in New York City, both in Manhattan and Brooklyn. I specialize in trauma resolution, and I am also the co-author of a book called Smitten, The Way of the Brilliant Flirt. So I have kind of like a dual expertise around yoga and dating.
And a third expertise in writing.
Yes, yes, yes. Lots of writing has happened.
Ariel's book is beautiful. I'm really excited to read it personally. So Ariel, the first question I have for you is one that I always take a personal interest in with anyone I speak to, and it's why you do what you do. So both why yoga and also why trauma, why breakup?
Well, I would say I have been interested in awakening practices since I was about 12. I was always looking for the truth of existence. I was always, on every time I saw a clock that said 11:11, I would wish for the truth. And for me, that became really exciting when I found yoga philosophy and any philosophies around waking up basically to the true nature of reality. In addition to that, so that's kind of how I wound up studying yoga and teaching yoga and meditation. But in addition to that, I've always had a bit of a love affair with the dark side, I'd say. When I was 19, I guest starred on an episode of The Sopranos playing a stripper, an ill-fated stripper, Tracy, who gets beaten to death. And I also went to Gallatin School of Individualized Study at NYU. And my main focus was tragic heroines in literature and film. So I'm particularly interested in how tragedy, breakdown, can lead to breakthrough, just like how breakup can lead to breakthrough. And I think, like a lot of people, my parents had a really, really sad breakup and really sad divorce. And there were many years of sadness and pain on both sides of that. And I think just growing up in a home like that, I was like, God, why can't we speed this up? Why can't they get over what happened? And then once I got a little older and had my own breakups, it's like, well, Ariel, here's where you get to actually try and make that happen. So I've basically developed a program or approach to use yoga, meditation, philosophy, and somatic practices around trauma resolution to consciously recover from and basically evolve after a breakup.
Yeah, that's so powerful to me. I definitely relate to kind of watching the pain in my own family and thinking about my adult life and saying like, all right, what can I do to not repeat this cycle?
Yeah.
Cycles like that do so often repeat themselves. It takes conscious effort to not kind of perpetuate the pain that we experience as children.
Definitely. And I think also there's so much shame around breakups, like feeling unloved or feeling left, that instead of doing the conscious work that we might do around something like a death, something where there are more available resources to do that work after it, we just let it simmer and it gets stuck in this dormant, icky, ugly, gross phase when we could be keeping moving it through and move on to better possibilities for love and romance. So I think it's just one of those topics that people don't want to deal with. But we got to deal with it. We got to get the beauty to get the breakthrough.
Yeah, it's good on the other side. I can already tell. So I became acquainted with Ariel and her work because I'm living in a new neighborhood and I was checking out yoga studios in the area, and I saw one in Clinton Hill that at which she was hosting basically a seminar, a breakup seminar, and I texted it to two different ones of my friends. I was like, look, this thing is happening. I couldn't make it that night, but I just went through a breakup. That's why I had to move, and I just immediately connected with your method, or just like the hint at your method even. I connected with the fact that someone out there was using yoga and applying yoga practices to this thing that happens to be happening to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, what my brain started wondering is like, is there a method? It feels to me like you have a method. You've done this work and you've sort of methodicized it, and that is what I wanted to share with the RFB listeners today.
Yes, I hope there are many brokenhearted listeners out there right now, because we're going to do a little workshop, right? We're going to do a little workshop with you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to offer these questions and teachings, so any of you out there who have unresolved breakups can kind of follow along and try on these ideas for yourself. This will just be a sampling of my beauty of the breakup work. It won't be the whole hog or the whole enchilada, but you can get a taste of it. And so please, if you are feeling like some depths of rage or pain or yearning about someone in the past, open up a notebook while you listen.
Yeah, or even better, you are welcome to call in. The number to call in is 718-928-9732. I'll repeat it, 718-928-9732. 9732. Listeners, we're open to taking any of your questions. Not only have I just gone through a breakup, your usual host, Sasha Sugar, is dealing with some loss of love in her own life. Lots of my friends are going through breakups. There's something in the water.
There's a lot
right
of
now.
Change in the air right now.
Yeah.
And I always get excited. Like, I'm watching you say this, yeah. And I'm smiling bigger and bigger because I'm like, all these people have this opportunity to access parts of themselves that maybe were kept in a box before or were in a more dormant phase during those relationships.
Right.
And you might get back together with that person. And I think that's the thing that's really exciting about this work. It's the work you need to do if you want closure, real closure, after that relationship so you can truly move on. And it's also the work you need to do if you want closure from that version of the relationship so that you can start anew with that person in a healthier, more positive, more conscious way.
Yeah, and it's kind of beautiful taking it a step further that, you know, if there's something in the air, there's something happening, and lots of people are going through these changes, it's extra cool that we're all going to be offering our unboxed selves to the world at the same time. We're like all going through this struggle together, and we're all presenting the world with our offerings
together. Yes,
the
let's share our
be
worms.
So, yeah, let's get into it.
Okay. So I want to ask you a series of questions first, just to get a lay of the land with this person that you are involved with. And I do call this part the lay of the land.
Right.
So first, will you choose a fake name for your ex? Because it's better to handle this person symbolically as opposed to personally, because they represent, if there's unfinished business, they represent a lot more to you from way before you even met them, mm-hmm. than just that individual person. So can we get a fake name?
The fake name I choose is Bruce.
Uh-huh.
Ex-partner of mine dresses like Bruce Springsteen. So we're going with it, Bruce.
All right. We got the boss here. Great. Okay, so you and Bruce, how long ago did this relationship start?
So it started at this point about 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And how long did it last?
It lasted between 2 and 2.5 years, so 2 3/4, 2 and a couple of months.
Okay, when did it end?
A little over a month ago, maybe like a month and a half ago.
So pretty fresh, pretty
fresh.
Yeah, pretty fresh. And were there kids involved, or dog or a cat, or something that binds you guys together?
No, we did not have any kids. We, you know, weren't married. There was not really much joint property, I'd say. But
okay.
No pets either. But we did share an apartment. So anytime that you're cohabitating, there is necessarily a little bit more of a tie than if not.
There's a separation of stuff that needs to happen.
Exactly.
And for those of you listening, I just ask this because maybe you've heard of the idea of the no contact rule. I'm a big fan of, after a breakup, taking a period of, some people say 30 days. I really think at least 3 months to, if you have any sort of addictive qualities or that real feeling of attachment to that person, do no contact for a while. It's harder if you have kids or if you have like a beloved goldfish between you or something. But that's why I ask, because it's just a little bit different approach. So are you guys actively involved or connected right now?
No, we're not. And I think we both had that survival instinct to follow that rule.
Yeah.
Within the first few days after this decision was made, we were in touch and we sort of agreed to support each other through the hard, like, first 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we sort of both agreed it'd be for the best not to communicate.
Cool.
At all.
You guys sound pretty conscious about this. But you never know what's going to come up in the shadows late at night.
Just never know.
Okay. So do you think it's possible that you guys might get together again?
At this point, I'm not thinking about that. The first thing I said the night we decided to break up, I was like, listen, Bruce, I'm just going to have to pretend that this is maybe a possibility for the future, because mm-hmm. I just love you so much and feel like even having that hope for myself will get me through this.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, I'm seeing the ways in which we just weren't a natural fit, and I'm not discounting it totally, but it's not my focus at all.
Yeah.
I'm focused on solo time for sure.
Great. And for you listeners out there, you don't know, right? Like, sometimes you're like, I'm never, ever, ever, and you try and declare it and like build a wall between you and that person. Honestly, if you do that, it's probably even more likely that you got another few rounds. But it's just good to check in on that. And sometimes you do want to reconnect, but you know you have to heal from this version of the relationship first. So that's legit. If you're like, I kind of want to marry that person one day, that's sweet. That's cool. So here we go. How, and I would love for you to set a little intention for how you want to feel on the other end of this, like the completion of the breakup process. How would you love to feel?
That's an interesting question. I think that my answer to that differs a little bit from the average listeners, maybe. And I have a tendency in my life, and maybe sort of a problem, one might say, to compartmentalize problems. I am historically a little too good at packing my pain into one tiny box and living the rest of my life in a really big way. And that pattern definitely started in childhood and persists with me to this day, and is something that Bruce really helped me get rid of, almost, or work against. So I think your average post-breakup listener might say, my intention is to feel better, to feel healthy and feel whole again.
To feel attractive again. I get that a lot. Totally. A lot of people after a breakup feel, are we allowed to swear on air?
Yes.
So fucking ugly and disgusting. They suddenly feel fat. They suddenly feel blemished. They feel broke. Yeah, they feel like that was their shot at love, and now it's gone, and it's left them older and more damaged. So
that breaks my heart.
Yeah. It sounds like what I'm hearing you say, though, is you would love to come out the other end of this and keep a more integrated ability to actually feel.
Exactly.
So you're that compartmentalized way of living maybe isn't serving your greatest expansion right now, and you want to break through some of those, like take an axe to some of those walls and live in a bigger space, like
totally
live in a loft instead of a little cut up apartment.
Yeah. Yeah, you have it exactly right. Of course I want to feel attractive. I want to feel happy. I want to feel whole, but mostly I just want to feel whole, moreover. I just want to feel like I've done the work of processing this, like I'm going to keep with me all the wonderful things that this person gave to me, but that I'm also going to have an exciting life afterwards and an exciting love life.
Great. I love that. And you guys listening, it's so important for you to clarify your intention, because I can just see in Asha's face, like her eyes are lighting up, she's smiling, and she's actually physically embodying. She's having a physical experience of who she's going to be at the other end of this breakup. And by you generating those real visceral feelings in your body about where you want to move to and who you want to be, it is organizing the steps that you need to move through to get to that place. So it's really good to like hit that positive before we go down into the pit of eternal stench.
Oh no. I love that. That's just yoga 101. Set your intention. And that's exactly what we're doing here.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're going to go into the real beauty of the breakup work. The first step, and I've reduced this just to a few steps because we don't have a ton of time, but the first step would be what I call to batten down the hatches. Anytime you're going to process something scary or painful, you need to feel safe. So,
just a second. I think we have a call.
Oh,
that's exciting.
Oh,
give me just a minute to answer it.
So you guys listening, take the time right now to make sure you feel safe. If you need to close a door, lock a door, get out your special blankie or your special robe or your stuffed horse named Lightning. I keep Lightning at home all the time. He doesn't leave the home.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. It's a very special caller. Is this Sasha?
Hi, this is Sasha Sugar.
Sasha, hello.
Hi. Hi, Asha.
Your listeners are so glad to hear their favorite host. Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah. Hey, I'm calling from Nashville. It's raining here, so I'm taking a little break from exploring. And I've been listening to the show, and it sounds amazing. And oh my gosh, I still regret that I didn't have the show a bit earlier because I broke all the rules that Ariel just mentioned. The day after we decided to break up with my boyfriend, I immediately decided to become best friends with him And I continued communication as if nothing had happened because I thought, well, I love this person regardless. I love him unconditionally. I want to know what's happening in his life. I want him to know what's happening in my life. I want to go through this breakup together and to develop this new and beautiful relationship of friendship. In return, my ex-boyfriend was kind of distant, and which was making me feel bad. And I wasn't sure if he didn't know how to process this or if that's how he is with all his friends, but it didn't make me feel good. It made me feel worse because I felt that it was a one-way communication. And basically I called him up on this, and he just said, well, that's what it is. And despite that, I said, well, how do I call him? Let's pretend he's John. Also, he's not John. He's not even American, but John. But this breaks my heart. Like, I want to know what's going on in your life. I need to process this together. You're my friend. You're so close to me. I need you to support me in this process. And he couldn't say anything in return. He was just silent. And I even started crying. But I don't know if all men react like this, but he just didn't know what to say. And basically, after I hung up the phone, I realized that I can't talk to this person anymore, at least for now. It's so, not only I lost my lover, but also I lost my friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know what? First of all, I don't really believe in any kind of rules. Like, because we're human beings and life should be a little bit messy and experimental. And it's really beautiful. I think it's important during these sensitive times to acknowledge your really beautiful, sweet instincts. Like, it's so beautiful that you care so much for this person, that you wanted to stay friends, that you want to support each other through the breakup. Like, it's not always realistic, but that's such a beautiful urge that you even had that.
Because for me, this is important. And even if I am to learn a new lesson to take into my next relationship, how important for me to find this in my next partner, for instance, or it's just real unrealistic and most men are not like this and I should just accept this?
You just don't know.
And I'm going to hang up the phone just because I know that the sound sounds better if there is nobody on the line. Guys, the show is amazing. Ariel, thank you so much for your insights. Asha, you sound great. And yeah, I'll keep listening. I hope to get more lessons out of the show because I'm still processing the whole thing. All right, I'm hanging up the phone, but my question is asked, basically.
Great. Thank you so much for calling in. Say hi to Nashville.
Bye, Sasha. We love you.
The one point I want to make about what Sasha was just saying is you don't know how the other person will react. You know them in the context of the relationship, and for both of your survival after the relationship, you just don't know how the other person's going to react. Often one person wants to reach and hold on more than the other person. I've been in relationships, I call them dangling chads, that like, it dangles for like 6 frickin' months. Like we're watching Game of Thrones together, but we're not touching each other. And it's okay if your heart needs a little cushion time with each other, but I think you really need to tune into your instincts and ask yourself, is this for the benefit of my highest self and the relationship I really want to be in? Because as long as you're half involved with this person, you're not fully available to other possibilities. And also, and we're going to get into negative core beliefs. If you have a negative core belief that you're unlovable as you are, or you don't have enough to give, or you're not sexy, and then you're in this relationship where you're hanging out, but you can't touch each other and you can't have the fullness of what you want, you're kind of reaffirming that core belief still.
Yeah, that's so powerful. You're so right. You're telling yourself, oh, I have to be around this thing that I don't deserve anymore.
I get half of what I want.
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
that's heartbreaking.
And it's, but I think friendship is possible. But I think, I mean, I can have a kind of addictive relationship to relationships. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to just stop the momentum of that addiction to that other person in order to really look at the pieces of what's going on. So You ready to get back into the system?
Yes.
Back All right. So batten down the hatches. We want to make sure we're safe. So we're in this cute little underground studio in the basement. The door is locked. Mm-hmm. We are broadcasting to the world. But yeah. Do you feel pretty safe, Asha?
I absolutely feel safe.
Okay, cool. I also think if you want to make it a little ritualistic at home, like light a candle, put on a beautiful robe, like create the environment that can make it feel like this is a ritual honoring your truest self. It's not something you're doing secret and ugly in private. So after my biggest breakup 6 years ago, I was living in this apartment in Ditmas Park, and I had this little porch that was mine on the second floor. And at the end of the night, I'd come home, close myself on that porch, light candles. It was beautiful. These old paned glass walls, this sloping antique porch of this old Victorian house. And I would make it a ritual to process and mourn this breakup. So I really encourage you to make it a beautiful ritual so you feel like you're entering into a poem when you go to do this work.
That's beautiful. I have to say, making radio is sort of this new beautiful ritual for me. It's something that I'm the most excited about in my life right now. And even though it's, you know, a little cozy, kind of warm studio in Bushwick, being in it and doing what I'm so excited about with a yoga instructor, with a very wise yoga instructor, does feel like my sacred space in that same way.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. So the next thing we want to do is feel the pain. So you want to find your seat, and I think your seat or your position is really important because it's how you're showing up. So I love sitting cross-legged on a cushion because I love meditation, but for some of you, it might be lying on your bed or standing tall. Find a posture that you're willing to feel in. It might be good to have a back on your seat so you can feel the support of that seat. Basically, on a somatic level, so this is where the trauma resolution side of things come in. You make yourself feel safe first, and then you experience on the somatic, which is the body level, the energy of this breakup. So Asha, if you can just tune in, and any listeners who are feeling their breakup, find your comfortable supported seat and feel into, remember that breakup, remember that person. And as much as you feel safe right now, so you don't have to overdo it, you can just take a teaspoonful or a dropper full if that's best for you right now. Feel in your physical body where this breakup lives. And just for example, some people might feel like a choking in their throat or a tension in the back of the neck. You might feel shortness of breath. You might feel strain or pressure in your heart. Your gut might go into a fist. Your toes might clench up. I don't know, because you're all unique snowflakes out there. But sense what comes up for you. And Asha, when you're ready, will you let us know what physically happens when you think about this breakup?
Yeah, the overwhelming somatic experience is just like a sadness, like a hollowness in the middle of my chest, like right in heart center. And I'm not like a good actress. I'm not the type of person who can cry on command, but when you put me in that zone and you're like, scan your body right now and listen to your pain, I like feel like I could cry. So it's this heart sadness that goes up and like is about to be in my face.
So let's pause right here, and you can keep feeling the support of whatever you're sitting on. And just notice that hollowness, and what a gift for your body to offer this information. There's this sense of hollowness in the heart. And if you're listening, you can just notice what's happening in your body. And again, if it's really intense, feel less, because I'm not there with you. So I want to make sure you're just feeling as much as you feel safe feeling right now. But just notice the body carries information. Now, if I'm working personally with people, this is a longer, more drawn out process, and we would delve, quote, deeper. But what I want to get to is a negative core belief that may have been activated in this breakup. And the reason breakups can be so painful beyond the relationship. I mean, I know people, including myself, who've dated someone for less than a month, and the pain of the relationship has echoes much longer than I was ever involved with that person. And that's likely because they touched on a core negative belief, an old wound that is unresolved and is bigger than that thing. So if you tune in, Asha, and just feel into the feeling of hollowness in the heart and see if there's any beliefs in there, uncomfortable beliefs that seem to relate to that feeling.
Yeah, I think there are two big ones. And the first one is that it's just really sad. It's really sad and heartbreaking that two people can care so much about each other and just not be able to make it work. And that one, you know, I've sort of been thinking about a lot. That one applies to all my friends' breakups too. But the one that feels really personal and scary for me is that in you know, the fights that led up to a breakup, I did something or I caused something like irreversible.
Mm.
Like something I did wrong made it so that my whole life is different now.
Mm, that's a good one. Something I did wrong made it so that my whole life is different now. For the sake of our listeners, can we say something I did wrong caused irreversible damage?
That's exactly how I'd say it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys listening, like, I can totally relate to this idea. You guys listening, see if you can relate to this idea. This is just like in the collective consciousness. Something I did wrong caused irreversible damage. And this is a huge gift Asha has given us to share this vulnerable insight. And I can see her, she's gone more internal and she's feeling like there's a lot of energy to that negative core belief. So as you feel this idea, something I did wrong caused irreversible damage, just also sense your seat underneath you and the back of your chair. And if you're processing this on your own, I would actually facilitate for myself or in a group or individually, or if you're doing this on your own, a really long time to just let yourself feel and let the feeling play out in the comfort and safety of your own home. So we're going to move quicker here just for the sake of hitting on some points, but I encourage so much space. I used to sit deep into the night, cry my eyes out, until the crying stopped. And then after that resolution, go to bed. It wasn't always crying. You never know what's going to come up. So if you think about this belief, and you might even notice it has resonance in other times of your life. Something I did wrong caused irreversible damage. Like, this is not on the relationship topic, but whenever I break a glass, and I have really pretty glasses, whenever I break a glass, this thought comes up. Everything I love, I destroy. Everything I love, I destroy from my carelessness. The truth is, in my childhood, I had a total of 5 dogs, and 3 of them got killed because of carelessness. One got split in half by the train. I should have said trigger warning. One got split in half by the train, 2 got hit by cars. All 3 of those could have been avoided if the dogs had been on leashes or fenced in well. So when I break a glass, just simply break a glass, it doesn't matter. It's one less thing to have in my little Brooklyn studio apartment. It carries the weight of Jerrica and Rosa and Cora dying. Sorry, guys, I know that's really heavy, but I think it makes the point.
Yeah.
And being able to see that helps give you a little distance. So, and you don't even have to tell us what if it feels too personal, but does that idea show up in any aspect of your past?
You know, I think both of these do a little bit. Definitely in my parent relationships, my family relationships. But I think also the second one is almost this irrational fear I have. It's like that lifelong, like, recurring dream of, like, being in front of everyone naked, or you realize the whole semester that you skipped a class, or, like, you didn't do your homework and now everyone's laughing at you. It's like this, like, deeply, like, ingrained human fear that you fucked up in a way that you can't fix.
Yeah.
And maybe there's a trigger, maybe there's a pattern, but it feels just very feels like part of being human to me.
Yeah, yeah. And we can take that, and also you can take that belief and even like hold it in your hand. Or you can like imagine you're holding it and give it to me. Like hold it in your hand and then hand it over to me. Give it to me. Let me hold it. Okay, so I'm holding the belief right here in my hand. I have very strong yoga teacher hands. That I've done something that's caused irreversible damage. And what does it feel like to you, even if I'm just holding it over here away from you?
It's definitely a relief. It's this feeling of like life is big and there's always room for mistakes and it will keep going.
Cool. So she already jumped to the next point, which is reshaping that belief, like creating another possible belief in that topic. Life is big. We all make mistakes. Tell me again.
There's room to mess up and there's it room will keep to mess going.
Up. It will keep going. Life is big. There's room to mess up. It will keep going. And just by taking the belief from Asha, she can sense that there's a difference between her and the belief. The belief isn't her. It's a thought bumping around inside her. And I'm not going to crush or squash this belief. Like, it's there for a reason, for some self-protective reason. We all have these beliefs. But to create a little more space, now we're going to turn. So we've named the pain. We've acknowledged a core belief. Now we're going to try on, and I want you to pick a phrase that feels pretty good. And you just gave a few. Which one do you like best? There's plenty of room to make mistakes. You could even go for changing the word mistake.
There's plenty of room. That's almost it. Like there's plenty of room for something. There's plenty of room to the things that you feel that you hold so dear can go away, and that can be terribly scary, but there can almost instantaneously open up a new like pasture of life, that there's just plenty of room.
There's plenty of room. And the choices you make can almost instantaneously open you up to a new pasture in life. So, and when Asha was saying that, like her arms were in the air and her eyes got bright and she was smiling, I was like reaching for my phone to take a picture of her. I'm like, you guys need to see this. So just feel the energy of that new core belief that you're trying on. There's plenty of room. Every choice you make actually can expand you into new possibilities, new pastures. So this is part of the beauty of the breakup work. Basically, looking at those negative core beliefs that came up in the relationship for what they are, making space between you and them, and trying out different beliefs. Now, what I would ask Asha to do to really take this to the next level is go out there and take actions in daily life, consciously take actions to recognize the new pastures. I might even have her literally go to Nethermead Meadow in Prospect Park and like do a Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music kind of spinning moment, experiencing that new pasture.
That's too good.
I wouldn't impose that on you. I would really like for you to come up to, like, maybe one night you pick your favorite girlfriend and you decide to go to 10 different places where you can meet new people and create 10 new connections, bing, bang, boom, just to prove to yourself how many options and possibilities there are out there. Just go smiling into 10 new connections. Because I'm a big fan, not just of like sitting home and like thinking and thinking and thinking. It's like, what is actionable that can create new neurological pathways? So you might constantly be routing toward that negative core belief. And if it's a strong one that your past survival has been dependent on, which a lot of them are, then now that you're an adult and you have the right to choose and you can choose new beliefs, create other actions and activities. You might feel silly in the beginning, but it's worth it, that are going to build new neurological pathways to this other possible belief. So you have the choice to live by this new belief. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And that feels like deepening wisdom that's already sort of common. It's like it's an instinct. It's a survival instinct to change your surroundings, to try new things, and this is just a very intentional way to do that.
Yeah. And also, you guys, I know it's very common for people to be like, oh, you just got to go sleep with someone else and that'll erase the other person, or, you know, the going out and getting drunk thing. And if that's part of your mourning process, you got to do what you got to do. But do this part where you're acting on a new positive belief consciously and in as sober a way as possible. So you're not adding toxins to this rewiring process. Maybe you're going to spend 8 hours in a bar later that night. Spend an hour and a half going to the bookstore and reading love poems that renew your faith in true love, if that's what you're going to do. And do it in that sweet, innocent aspect of yourself that isn't entertaining your shadows in order to try and ignore the pain of your past.
Yeah, that speaks to me straight to the heart. I think that this relationship was one that encouraged me to entertain the best parts of myself, like the most innocent parts of myself. Mm. And it has been an instinct to kind of be cruel to myself afterwards. Not cruel to myself, not mean to myself, but to indulge the parts of myself that are a little bit more self-destructive.
Mm-hmm.
So I think setting the intention to not do that while still indulging the parts of myself that are joyful is the most important work I can do right now.
Yeah, yeah. And don't flog yourself if you go into the shadows. After my big breakup, like, I hadn't smoked for years. The only thing that made me feel better was a Marlboro Red cigarette. And that's kind of embarrassing as a yoga teacher, but I had to go through the phase of smoking some cigarettes again for a while before I could get that back out of my system. It was attached to my old wounds that got activated in the breakup. And honestly, I lovingly and consciously did that. And I lovingly and consciously decided to let it go too. So I'm not someone who's like, cut off your fingers so you don't hold a cigarette. You know, like, just do it all lovingly.
Yeah.
But just like the best way sometimes to get healthy is just to add more really healthy food to your diet so you don't have as much space to eat cake and ice cream. Like, add more healthy, positive activities to your daily life that affirm the beliefs you want to live by, and you'll just have a little less space to like make out with creeps in dark alleys. You know what I'm saying?
Totally know what you're saying. Friendship has been huge for me for that. Just knowing that friendship is like the number one most nourishing thing in my life, and mm-hmm. filling my life with friends has given me less room for like scheduling weird rebound dates that I don't want to be on anyway. So yeah. I've really just been focusing on friendship, which I see as the most healthy thing for me.
Totally. And also, we do need each other. We are social beings. So it's such a myth to think, oh, I can live on my own. I can do it all on my own. I don't ever need anyone. I shouldn't want to be with anyone. Of course you want to be connected to people. Of course you want to touch people. Find people who you feel safe and good being connected to, making eye contact with, and having positive encounters with. So I want to go on to this other part. I want to make sure we hit it because I think it's a juicy one as well. So that's a little bit of the beauty of the breakup process. Another aspect is what I call steal their magic. And that's just a cute name. You're not actually going to steal it. You're going to be inspired by it. A lot of times we date someone because they have a quality or a resource that's dormant inside us. And by being close to them and being in relationship with them, it gets activated inside us, and it's really satisfying. So for instance, I went through a phase where I dated like really famous and successful men. And when I looked closely at it, I realized I wasn't actually into being in a close, intimate relationship with that human being. But there was a part of myself that I wasn't activating in terms of me producing and creating what I'm excited to offer in this world professionally. So I was living vicariously through them. So part of successfully moving through those breakups was to admit, oh, that guy that just, his book just came out, I want to be writing. And a big part of letting that go is sitting down and doing my blog. I have a blog on arielkylie.me that I love to create. And when I'm writing that blog, nothing else in the world matters. So in the Steal Their Magic category, for all of you listening and for Asha, tune into Mr. Bruce Springsteen and whoever you guys are attached to out there and think about their magic. And it might not always be a success thing. It might be just the way they crack jokes late at night or their uninhibited quality or maybe how organized they are. Or like tune into a bit of their magic that you loved that feels sad and lacking now that you've moved away from it. You got anything, Asha?
So much. This is just so deeply resonant for me. And I feel grateful that I kind of, in the course of this relationship, I already started to do that. I think there was, you know, kind of some instability and some fear of it ending for a lot of it. So I already had been feeling that thing that was lacking. You know, I was like, wow, like if this person left my life, I would not have access to X, Y, and Z. For me, X, Y, and Z were, I mean, the biggest one was creativity. I did not live my life as a creative person until I met Bruce. And I immediately saw, like within months of our relationship, I was just like, wow, this is really lacking from my life. I'm so jealous of you that you have this practice. I'm so jealous of all your friends who are creatives. And, you know, as soon as there's a sneaking suspicion that this might not last for my whole life, it was like, oh, I can't do this vicariously through you. I have to start doing this for myself. Mm-hmm. So it played out in real time. It's almost, thankfully, something I don't have to figure out from scratch right now. And I told him all the time, like, I really credit him for a lot of what's exciting about my life right now. But yeah, for me, it was that creativity and inventing new things and also initiative, just undertaking new projects and putting what you have to say out into the world.
Yeah, that's such a good one. And not to make it about gender, but it's one I see a lot in the male-female dynamic as women, they're connected to a man that gives expression to what might be a repressed urge to create and contribute to the world in a bigger way. And part of the healthy and complete breakup is to really activate that urge inside themselves and pursue it. What are some of the actions you've taken? You mentioned how just doing this podcast is really satisfying for that part of you. What are some of the actions you've taken to activate those aspects of yourself?
Yeah, so this is the main one. I'm really excited to be doing this. I feel like it's something that I never would have done 2 years ago. It was just not in my realm of possibility. During our relationship, I started journaling really regularly. Upon seeing that I clearly had this complicated jealousy with his creativity, I read The Artist's Way, mm-hmm. which, like morning pages, were a practice that almost immediately got rid of that jealousy. Mm. As soon as I just started writing my thoughts down, I was like, oh, I'm creative now. It's fine. But I also started writing music. It's not really going anywhere yet. I'm not recording or producing it, but I started writing songs. Like, I have a big notes app of song lyrics in my phone, and I wake up some mornings and I'm just like, oh, here's a melody I thought of.
And that is so good. Yeah. And songs are such an amazing way to connect ideas with emotion too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. The other thing in your energy right now that I want to acknowledge is this gratitude toward Bruce Springsteen. Like, we were talking before doing this show and Asha was saying, well, I don't want to like bash my ex. I don't want to say negative or hurtful things. And I was like, I don't want you to either. Although that's natural after when you have a fight instinct because someone hurt you, so you want to fight back and lash back and talk about how they were in bed in a negative way or trash them. That's like your animal human survival instinct, and that's fine. But I don't think real healing comes through trying to destroy the person you were supposedly in love with. And also, I think it diminishes your own self-trust for you to pick someone that's valuable and important to you. And whoever you dated before, even if they turned out to be a real doozy for your life and self-confidence, like, you picked them for a positive reason, and to find the gold in that and to not publicly trash and diminish them is just, like, really respectable, I think.
I'm, like, having a moment right now just listening to you say that. I'm crying a little bit. This hasn't been a very cry-y breakup, but, yeah, gratitude. I'm so grateful for everything that happened in this relationship, and I'm proud of myself for being a grateful person. Like, that's something that I'd felt was lacking from my life for a couple of years there, where I was just like, I know that everything's so good, but I can't access the gratitude around it. So, yeah, I'm sad that it ended with this person who was so great for me, but I'm proud of myself for that being what you're picking up on.
Nice. Yeah. And you guys, if anyone wants to call in, you're welcome to call in too. We have a few minutes left.
Yep. 10 more, a little less.
Yeah. What's the number that they can call in on?
Yep. It's 718-928-9732.
Yeah.
718-928-9732.
So if you have a burning question or just urge to chat on this topic, feel free to... Oh, there it comes.
This is exciting. All right. One more caller. Hello?
Hey. How are you?
Hi. Who's calling?
It's Michael, Mikey.
Hi, Mikey.
I don't have a great connection, do I?
We can hear you all right.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, I'm listening, and you guys are great. I'm on whatever Ash is saying. That's exactly how I feel.
Which part of it? Is it the gratitude part that you're feeling?
Yes. See, good. Now I hear you better. I should shut the radio. But I don't know. I relate to women so much more than I do men, and that's a little crazy. You know what I mean? Because I'm a man. I'm a tough kid. You know what I'm saying?
We're just better at putting words to it sometimes.
Big time. I don't like men like locker room talk and that stuff. I like the way you guys talk.
Wait, how long ago was your breakup, Mikey?
7 years.
Mm-hmm. And are there still ripples of it in your daily life?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, because I never thought I would find someone that I would click with, because like, I was in my 20s, just dating, having fun, and I never found that one until I was 30 years old. I met Kimmy, and boom, I was like, oh my God, this is it. And she felt the same way too. But you know how it goes. 3 years it lasted, and it was over. Mm-hmm. It was good for me, like you said. I don't have nothing bad to say about her.
So what are you dating right now, or are you single?
I'm single, having fun, you know, and I'm not clicking with any women right now at all.
Are you, in your daily life, are you doing the things that make you feel happy and enthusiastic about life?
I'm starting to. I really am. I'm starting to. I've been journaling. I've been surrounding myself with good people. I'm an alcoholic and an addict, so.
Where do you live?
I live in the Bronx.
Nice. Yeah, I'm sober. It's been a really important part of my relationship recovery as well.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, Ariel, I follow you for 3 years. I like every single one of your posts.
Oh, Mikey, I know. Wait, Mikey, what's your name? What's your
Michael
handle?
Michael Basile.
Yes.
Yeah, Michael Basile 5.
Yeah, you know I'm sober then, because I love to talk about it.
Yeah. And me too now. I do too. And I don't know, you guys, you know, you're connected to the universe. Like, oh my God, that's so cool. I need that in my life. I know it'll be good. And I'm trying. You know, I'm just starting out, man.
Yeah, Mikey, you're connected to the universe too. You're just using me as an excuse to admit it to yourself.
Yeah. Like when you said take something and give it to you in your hand, I gave it to you and I felt good. Just like Asha said, I felt relief.
I'm so happy to have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Mikey, thank you, Mikey. I want us to come up with, while you're on the phone, I'd love for us to come up with one thing you can do this week that would just nurture that part of you that's ready for the kind of excitement and love that you shared with Kimmy.
Right. So what are we going to do? Are you asking me to think of it?
Yeah, like, is there some activity, some place you want to go in the city, some person you want to connect with, something that just feels like it would fuel you?
Yeah, I go to the city a lot, 14th Street, Union Square. I love that place, just to relax and chill. And I meet some friends and stuff like that, so... But I don't know, one single person you're talking about?
Well, like I have a thought. What if next time you went to Union Square, and this is a place that's super fun, you love to hang out. That was actually the first place I lived when I moved to New York City when I was 18. I used to work at the coffee shop as a waitress. I thought it was, or as a hostess.
The coffee shop, like right across, I know where you're
I thought it was so glamorous. But what if next time you went there, you gave five people genuine compliments from your heart of any age or gender, just like when you felt a positive thought, give five different people compliments?
That sounds great. It really does. Like just the one sitting on the bench, hanging out, smoking a cigarette, eating, stuff
Perfect.
Like that.
Yeah,
totally. Just they say a funny joke or you have a moment and you're like, you know, that was so funny. Or just say something about how you appreciate them or you like their style. Like put the vibes out that you want to live in.
Right. Gotcha.
Will you do that? And then will you write to me on social media and tell me how it goes?
I will. And listen, what are you doing? This once a week? You should.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're a natural here. This show happens once a week. I hope that you'll tune in more regularly now, Mikey. I know you're a fan of Ariel's. Maybe soon you'll be a fan of me and Sasha. But
yes.
We're definitely going to have Ariel back. We're changing lives in here. Making me cry, changing Mikey's life. And so, yeah.
And we're schwitzing in here. It's gotten hot over the hour.
Yeah.
And the studio's so cool, too. I seen it on your Instagram story. You know, it looks cool, professional and all that.
Yeah, it's funky. It feels like I'm in an independent film down here.
You're definitely
nice.
An independent radio
fan. Yeah, I want to be a guest on there one day, down the road.
Mikey, you'll have to follow us and we'll find you, definitely.
We'll find you, Mikey. Cool. Okay, go compliment people and check in later.
Thanks
so much,
guys. Thank
you so much for calling us.
Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Mikey.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Unfortunately, we have two more minutes. What else must we get to?
Well, I think the message we just really want listeners to hear is that everyone feels shame after breakups. Everyone feels hurt. Everyone feels aggressive. You might feel unsexy. All those things are universal. You're not alone in those. And there's a part of you that's whole and innocent and has the potential to give and receive love unconditionally and let yourself feel all the icky, yucky stuff so that you can return to that place of innocence and pure love that connects us all also.
Well said. I could not have closed out with better words. Ariel, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You are a natural at this. This was a really incredible experience for me, and I hope for everyone listening.
Can I plug my social media?
Please do.
Find me on Instagram at Ariel Kiley, ArielKiley, and same my website, arielkiley.me. You can do the Facebook thing with me, but I don't do much on there anymore because all those political posts make me feel exhausted and cork my vibe.
It's not a fun time on there. But yeah, please follow Ariel's social media. Find her on Instagram, her website, her blog, her beloved blog.
Yeah, and get on my newsletter.
One more thing in the way of plugs. We're coming to you live from Radio Free Brooklyn, which is a nonprofit entity. It's community supported. So please visit the website, radiofreebrooklyn.org, to find out ways to support.